the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Like cold cement professionals.
How are you, my friend?
Good. Happy race week.
Well, yes, this is the big race week, and we've got a Parker live cast to match.
We do.
So this week, you know, when you look at racing and you look at the sport of off-road racing, it is very racer-centric in the sense that most of the stuff that goes out there assumes that you know everything that you need to know about off-road racing. And it tends to be also that the racers are the people who are the biggest fans. So I thought, since the Parker Livecast sort of is about Parker culture and is essentially for the people who come to the Parker area for all these different reasons, but might not necessarily be, you know, right in the heart of all of this stuff, I thought, why don't we do the Parker Livecast's spectator's guide to the Parker 425? Not racer's guide, or not if you're coming as a part of the sport, but just if you're in the area, mm-hmm. if you happen to be in Parker, or if you're coming for this race, but you don't know everything there is to know. And we're going to assume that you know nothing for this. We're going to go from the ground up. What do you need to know in about 20 minutes or so here? What do you need to know about coming to Parker, Arizona for this weekend, and how to get the best out of being a spectator at this event?
It's an in-depth yet basic look at the off-road culture.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. We always do that.
Thank you for summing up what I just said in 11 words.
No, we always... That's you and I in a nutshell right there. Yeah. It's like, I'll do this long-winded thing that's way longer than it needs to be, and then you'll summarize it in like a movie trailer voice. That's all we need to do.
An in-depth yet basic look at the off-road culture.
So I have four chapters, five if you include some, like I'm going to give some websites and stuff at the end, you know, relevant places to go on your phone and stuff when you're here. But four big chapters on the... Do you hear this chair? It's really squeaky.
That chair is so squeaky.
Listen to this.
Is a very squeaky chair.
You would assume that in a radio studio, a professional environment, that everything in here would be completely silent. Like the door even would silently close. Like I've been in some radio stations where these big leather doors and stuff, and they'll like silently just go, and you don't hear a single thing, and it's all hydraulic and everything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's hydraulic.
Hydraulic?
I will tell you something. There was a time when that chair was definitely as sturdy as they got. And yeah. I don't know what happened to that
chair. I know what happened, but I can't say.
What happened?
I can't say. Anyway, the Parker Livecast.
It's like very cryptic. Yeah. I work here. I'd like to know what happened.
Well, I'll tell you. Well,
I'd like to know if I'm being blamed for what happened.
Now people are thinking sexual things, and I know
most
that's...
Most likely,
but that's wrong. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
That's what it
that
is.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you understand why I can't
not
say
sexual
that.
Not sexual at all, John.
No.
You're right.
And I can't say that.
Wow. Yeah, but how would an actual elk get into the studio? That's my question. I don't know. We'll have to check the footage.
I was going to make some sort of a noise, but then I realized, like, I don't know what noise an elk makes.
You don't?
No.
It's more of a trumpet.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like a trumpeting, like, something like that. That's how they sound.
That's frightening that you can do that. All right. Here it is, the Parker Livecast Spectator's Guide to the Parker 425. I like the air drums.
The air drums for post-production. So what is chapter one?
What is the Parker 425? I like that. That's a good sound effect. Years and years ago, when Henry Ford built the first automobile... I'm pretty sure, Josh, that he didn't have this in mind, right? He didn't exactly imagine, I'm pretty sure, racing them through rough terrain and trying to make them, you know, as fast as possible. But this has been going on for decades.
They were dreaming of pavement. They were dreaming of a solid surface to drive a car
please
on.
Please give us something solid. Desert racing is dusty. It's dirty, you know, Jim Beaver's show, the Down and Dirty Show, it's not just a good name, it's also very accurate.
Yes.
It's a dusty sport, but it's very visceral, right? So the Parker 425 is many, many classes of off-road vehicles, vehicles that can traverse the desert terrain. You know, a wet year, you might have a lot of mud, and we have had in years past.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any rain in the forecast for this weekend, right?
Nope.
No
rain. Sunny skies, temperatures in the low 80s.
Is that right? Low 80s?
Low 80s.
Wow.
82 for your high on Saturday with light winds.
And there's your naked weather. So before the Parker 425, what was it called, Josh?
Before that, it was like the Whiplash, I think 400.
And there was the Score 400.
And then Score 400 is what I always saw growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm.
But Whiplash was first?
No, Whiplash was like between Best in the Desert.
Between.
It only lasted a few years, I think.
And then Score was years and years before,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Score is what dates back all those years, because this off-road race has been here forever.
But it's also
Score 400.
This race in particular, the Parker 425, is also part of a bigger circuit, a bigger series of races.
It's not just a race, it's a series.
And points accumulate and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So the names in the sport really want to, you know, come out fighting on this course, because it'll set them up well for some of the other races.
Yeah.
But run by Best in the Desert, which is a fairly, I mean, Best in the Desert has not been around for decades and decades.
No.
Best in the Desert is a more recent thing. What is it, 15 years, 20 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's still in its infancy compared to other organizations for off-road racing.
But really kicking ass, as we established last week with Casey on the thing. And if you didn't hear that interview, Casey was on the phone with us last week's edition of the Parker Livecast, and it's a really good interview. You can go back and
listen. By what he was saying, and by what I've seen in my lifetime, and the amount of attention this race gets, think of it as if Best in the Desert were NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
The Parker 425 is the Daytona 500.
Right,
it is
right.
That central big race where the most fans show up.
And there are other big races like...
Oh, yeah. Not to take away from those.
No. And even by other organizations like the Baja 1000, of course, is the big race through the Baja Peninsula. But as far as U.S.-based off-road races, this is a good one, a big one. You know, you're coming to the right place. And so the idea is multiple classes of these vehicles. So you have classes like... Let's just name a few of them off the bat. So you have, the famous trick truck race, the big trick truck class, which is, you know, essentially unlimited, right? Those drivers, as much money as they can pour into those trucks, they can do it.
That's
right?
An awesome concept, isn't it?
It is an awesome concept. And of course, they are built from scratch, these things, right? They're usually not based. Didn't trick trucks used to be at least start with sort of pickup truck chassis and stuff like that, and then they would build on performance parts and things?
Because every one of them now is just custom made.
They're custom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really going to every aspect and modifying and changing and making more and more performance. Yeah. So when they go
nothing
off,
nothing stock about them for the most part.
Nothing stock. And there's where there's a lot of competition. So we start with this idea of just an unlimited budget for the trick truck class, and you'll see them go off first. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah.
And they do time trials, so the time trials will determine in what order people start. But what you need to know about the scoring for the Parker 425, for those spectators who care, some spectators really don't care about the scoring all that much, and I can understand that. But if you care about the scoring, what it is a... you know, it's by time. It's called 425 because for the three lappers, it is around 425 miles. When you think about it, it's a long race. I mean,
it definitely is.
If I travel 425 miles, it takes me half the day to do that. I rarely do it for that reason. I'm sure most of you are the same way.
Yeah, and these drivers are doing it through rough, unpredictable terrain.
Yes, exactly.
Jeez.
So they're flying through the desert. What kind of speeds do you normally see out there, Josh? What is a typical range of speed for the trick truck class?
Well, the trick truck class, obviously, a lot faster. I spoke with Randy Merritt today, and I could tell you in his class, I think he's the 7128 truck, I believe, the Ford F-150. On straightaways, you get going about 125, 130.
Right.
And then his average speed is about 80. Now, you're looking at that, you're like, 80? Dude, I do that in my Ford Focus all the time. Yeah, dude, but you're on a smooth surface.
Number one, you don't. And that number one, you never do an average speed of 80.
Oh, no.
Ever. Your average speed
is 24 miles an hour.
Yeah, way lower. And second, 80 is really, really fast. It's just that, you know, you're doing it on smooth dirt. Imagine if you're doing it on dirt. So that's the whole point, right?
And being jostled around and being dependent upon these...
so obviously
suspensions and shocks.
So obviously suspensions very important, Josh. Suspensions hugely important. The other thing is that these trick trucks, there are teams in there, especially the handful of very well-sponsored drivers. This handful, maybe 12 or 15 or 20 of these trick truck guys that have extensive pit crews, that have extensive, you know, operating support, like with helicopters and other chase vehicles and stuff like that, that are out there with them. And so, you know, it becomes very elaborate.
There's a whole army behind these guys.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the excitement for spectators is see the whole entourage and to see the whole setup that they have. And so we'll tell you where to get a glimpse at some of that stuff here in a few minutes. But that's a basic chapter one there. What is the Parker 425? And I think we established what it is pretty well, didn't you?
I think so. That's basic overview. It is an off-road race featuring trucks that are going to blow your freaking minds away.
They're going to blow your balls off.
Blow your balls off. That's what this is going to happen.
For those of you who have them. For those of you who don't, they'll blow your ovaries out. So,
oh
wow. So the point is that's very, very... And the other classes, like there's a Jeep class, which I love.
Jeep Speed. Yep.
There's a, you know, some limited classes where the competition is among people who are running very similar. So all of a sudden, money can't compete. It's not about money anymore. It's about, you know, the driver alone, because the vehicles are basically identical.
And they're stock for the most part. There's a lot of these that are stock with aftermarket suspensions, but for the most part, you'll see, well, that looks like the body of a Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
Right, because
it is. That is a Ford Ranger. That is a Ford F-150. That is a Chevy Silverado body out there.
Right, right.
Yeah, and they are limited in what they do.
Baja Bugs, for people not familiar with the concept of the Baja Bug, it's basically a Volkswagen Bug modified for off-road. It's a Volkswagen Bug with a suspension. Now, I'm sure Josh and I are not, by the way, experts in this field. We've been around it, so
no. I love the sport. I love spectating.
We are giving sort of a spectator's guide. So this is for people who are not.
And I think there's more of us out there.
There are
experts.
There absolutely are. In fact, as Casey said last week, expecting about 30,000 fans to be crowding the course. So,
wow.
Come into that now. Chapter number two is this. Schedule of events. Thank you. Love that. Love that little effect right there. The schedule of events is actually posted on Best in the Desert's website, and I'll tell you the basics. And of course, their schedule is written again for the racers. We're going to do the spectator version, and here it is. Thursday, which is already going to be over with by the time this is posted, right? Mm-hmm. So by the time you're hearing this, the downtown experience is done, but, you know, show and shine and all of that. And for those of you who were there, I'm sure that it was a good time. It always, always, always is. And of course, the display of the time trial vehicles are going to be there too.
It was a record turnout for this year's downtown experience. And the Parker Area Tourism Parker Pong booth was a huge success.
What is that you're going to be doing?
Giant beer pong.
Well, I'm sure people who took part in that loved it.
They did, John. It was. In fact, looking forward to the next time I can do it.
They did. The next thing that lasts all day Friday, and of course, this should be posted by Friday morning, so this is good information for the rest of today, and that is what we call Contingency Row. Actually, it's named Contingency and Technical Inspection by Best in the Desert. And all this is, and it sounds like something that spectators are not even supposed to go to, and in a way that's true. This is mostly for racers, but here's what's interesting. They'll go through in this whole row of vehicles. All of these entries have to be inspected by the race officials so that they can look and say, okay, they are in compliance with their class restrictions or they are in compliance with the rules. All of them, for example, have to have GPS now so that they can be tracked remotely by not only the race officials, but also by the teams and the other teams and maybe some spectators and fans as well. And we'll be relying on that too on Saturday, which I'll get to. But the point is, Contingency Row is all day, pretty much from, you know, 9 in the morning all the way through to the evening time on Friday, and that's February 6th, and it's at Blue Water Resort and Casino's north parking lot. So as soon as you go into Blue Water on Resort Drive, go straight the way through, and you'll see where it is.
And it snakes through the north parking lot.
Yeah, and so what's cool about it for spectators, and we're doing a spectator's guide, you know, the driver, you will be able to, if you didn't on Thursday, you'll be able to meet these guys on Friday at Contingency Row. They are all going to be there. Sometimes the drivers aren't there, and they have sort of support people in there doing that part for them, bringing the vehicles through the inspection. But it's a chance to get up close and personal with these vehicles, really see what's going on. You are allowed down there as a spectator. You just can't get in the way, but just walk all the way through. There's all kinds of vendors. You'll see, you know, Robbie Gordon always brings his huge semi, you know, hawking all the gear and stuff down there. He always does that. And you'll see there's a beer garden sometimes and things like
beer
that.
Beer garden, vendors. There's also a nice BLM booth. Swing by, say hi to those guys and get a free Smokey the Bear pencil.
Right, right. But you'll see it's mostly set up for teams, teams that are coming down there, and they're getting last minute things done. Things like, we didn't know we couldn't have this part, so we'll change it out. Or they'll do things like, oh, we need to talk to IRC for the tracking. Our GPS is broken. They'll give me a new one. You know, things like that. And it's interesting just to see that whole, you know what it is? If this were a movie set, this whole thing, the movie itself is Saturday. Behind the scenes is Friday.
Yeah.
And you get to see a little bit of sort of what goes into it. You're welcome.
By the way, if you bring a pet, have it on a leash and keep those pets from getting in front of these cars, because they will be moving unpredictably. They're just going to start moving once they're done with this inspection and done with that sponsor. They're going to keep moving. And I saw a dog almost get hit by a large truck last year.
Is that right?
Because the leash got in front of the tire, and the owner was like this, and the dog was stretched out, and the tire ran over the leash, and it yanked the owner down.
Whoa.
And the dog was like, arr! You know, and I thought it got hit, and it didn't get hit. So just keep in mind.
That's crazy.
Don't lose a dog.
Dogs and kids.
Or
keep
a child.
Keep them safe, yeah. So then the big day is race day, and that is Saturday, February 7th.
Yes.
Saturday is race day.
Yes.
Chapter 3, best spectator spots on race day. I like that. Clean. I like that a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So where should people go on race day?
Well, I will tell you this. Down at the start, which is the Parker Area Chamber of Commerce, with it being the final street start of off-road racing in the country, you owe it to yourself to go there at least at one time.
Now, when you say final, it doesn't mean this is the last year it's going to be.
No. This is there's no other. There's no other. We are it. We are the street start in the country, the only one.
Okay. And I like that.
Yes. So go down there, I would say around 6:30, because about 7:15 is when they're going to start taking off.
Wow, now that's early, Josh.
That is early.
What are you talking about? This is my vacation.
Yeah. Well, and it's a vacation you're going to have to earn.
Oh.
All right?
Ooh, I like it.
Because if you want the kind of excitement that you are setting forth in the spectator's guide.
I like the attitude that you put out there to the spectators.
You're just going to take some sacrifice.
All right, good.
All right?
Well, I do say, I agree with Josh, get up early, go down. What you're going to do is go to California Avenue. Now, problem is, at a certain point, the roads get closed. And they're not all the roads. You can still get in and out through Joshua Avenue in Parker. So if you want to go down to Joshua and then make a, you know, go out toward the east end of
Parker Motor Company, that road, that'll be blocked off at California Avenue, but not at Joshua.
Right.
Park anywhere in there. You can walk down towards Circle K.
But the intersection where you need to be if you want to see the start line is California and Arizona.
Which is Parker Motor.
Which are the two greatest states in the union, are they not?
Exactly, yes.
California and Arizona. So that's where you're going to be. And it all happens right there at about 7:15 in the morning. And I use the word about.
Yeah.
It ain't about. It's exactly 7:15. Casey has it timed exactly right. So at 7:15 precisely, that first truck, I guarantee it, will go off through the general tire tube thing there and all the way. And you'll hear that rev of that engine.
Oh, yes.
That roar,
and it races down five blocks to 18th, takes a left, and it shoots across the railroad tracks and into the desert where it remains rest of the day on dirt. And it is, there's power slides right there at that intersection. There's power slides down the way as they take off deeper in the desert.
And so the rest of the day they're on dirt, but it starts on asphalt. Yeah, that's great.
And it's great. And Keith and I will be there broadcasting it from a morning till about 9.
And there's nothing quite like, for the spectators who are going to be there and you've never experienced this, and we talked about, Mike said he knew people that had never been up that early, never been to the start line. It's this just sense of excitement and anticipation and just this whole vibe. When you look out toward the Parker Python, which is just past the Parker Airport, and you look out from Highway 95 and you just see all those little lights of all the people getting started, and you see dirt getting beginning to get kicked up, and you start to see police cars escorting the off-road vehicles and getting ready to do that. There's red and blue lights flashing, there's helicopters in the air, you know, there's a whole sense of just anticipation. The sun isn't even up yet.
Yeah.
And slowly that sun arises and those first cars go. It's a pretty good scene.
It's exciting.
It's a pretty good scene.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing.
I would say that would be, if you want to watch an amazing start of a great race, be there. After that, Gauntlet Python out by behind the airport. That is a great place to be. There's a whole city that sprouts up.
Exactly. So let's talk about that. This city. You know, a couple of years ago, my wife Melissa, who's a photographer, Melissa Wright Photography, she went up in the helicopter and did aerial shots of the Parker Python. It actually went around the whole course and did a lot of Parker 425 shots. We worked out that deal so she could do that. And she shot some photos of what it looks like from the air, the Python. It's crazy. And what I'll do is, for this podcast, the art will be that shot. And so
it is impressive.
And so you'll see, if you're listening to this, you'll see that piece of art, that photograph, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But that's a whole city, and you can be part of it. You can be out there. Do you think that's the best place, one of the best places for people to go during the middle of the race? So after the start is done and maybe an hour goes by, a couple of hours go by, and you want to start to be on the move, head to the Python, right?
That's
You're
going to have multiple vehicles that come into this almost arena style setting where there's a lot of turns and jumps and
switchbacks.
Even though the cars are spaced purposely at the beginning of the race, by that time, some of them have caught up to each other, and you'll see a lot of head-to-head, especially on that second lap.
This is
a great, great area to see that kind of more stadium-style, side-by-side racing in tight quarters.
Yeah.
Because if you're out on the course anywhere else, pretty much it's car goes by, vroom, and then the next car comes by, vroom, you're part of the course.
Yes.
You're sitting inside an entire arena-like atmosphere at the Gauntlet.
But sort of set up to where it's almost... I mean, the vehicles that are sitting around that part of the course are mostly RVs.
Yes.
And things like that. And then you have... And by the way, I just love that whole city atmosphere there. How, you know, like the night before, if you ever go over there, and we have friends over there sometimes, and, you know, we'll go and meet them and talk, and, you know, be part of that whole scene. And campfires and everything right there on that part of the course. And, you know, people are flying by in golf carts. I mean, it's a whole little... community that has
you
now
hear music
arose.
In the distance, you hear woo! Like there's just this cool vibe.
It's
man.
A cool vibe.
It is.
But it's also, and a lot of people might not know, when the word spectators who are not familiar, when they hear the words main pit, actually they're talking about the Python pretty much. The main pit is along one stretch of the Parker Python where those vehicles will come in for servicing and for tire changes, things like that.
A lot going on in
that area.
So there are some considerations if you have a vehicle there, and if you are on foot walking around, you need to be careful.
Right.
You can't go anywhere beyond the border of the outside ring. So you can't. And every year I've seen it because I go there, and having a press pass, you can go next to the course.
Right.
I can do that. I have that vest. And it's a great vantage point, but I've seen race officials kick people out. So you have to remember, stay on the outside course. Do not go on the inside. You're going to be tempted because it's a great vantage point, but it's dangerous.
Yeah, right. And of course, the little adage about staying off the course applies all the way around this whole course. And
yes.
It goes all the way out into the middle of nowhere. I mean, this course goes a long way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mention three other places that people could go.
Okay.
Number one, Shea Road.
Yes. Plenty of spectator areas out there.
Okay. So Shea Road is a very straight part of the of the course.
It's in the wash. It's in the Osborne Wash.
Uh-huh.
And Osborne Wash.
And it goes all the way up and to where, you know, it's sort of a straight line, and you can go to any part of that and see what's going on, right?
I'm personally in Spectator Area 5.
Okay.
Which is shortly before the 4-mile post on Shea Road.
So there are official spectator areas.
Official spectator areas. I think there's at least 9 that I know of.
Okay.
And we jump around every year, but this is a really nice spot. We have a huge fire ring. I already have my gear out there. It's that is a great place.
A good spot.
And you get a little, you have a little more room than you would at the Python.
And it's not as noisy. It's a little bit more relaxed, yeah. Right? Everything's just on.
A lot
on
more retirees.
a lot of people on their on their own terms out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the second one. Number three is Bouse. Yes. People mention, you know, the town of Bouse, Arizona. You might think, wow, that's a long ways out. The course is very long. Bouse isn't even to Midway, you know? Bouse is a long way out, and that is a spectator area. There's like a Y out there, like a Y-shaped thing in Bouse, and you can go there, and there'll be signs, and you can go to the spectator area in Bouse.
Yeah, if each lap is about 142 miles,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got to stretch out beyond the Parker boundaries, so
yeah.
It makes sense that you would go all the way out to Bouse and back and then deep into the desert.
Yeah, and you could even go further than that if you had like an off-road truck and you wanted to brave the desert. The fourth one that I had in mind was Osborne Wash and Highway 95, which is if you go north of Parker as though you're heading toward Lake Havasu City, there is a bridge, just a regular road bridge. You wouldn't even notice most of the time that you're going over it. It's a wash known as Osborne Wash. And that's when they're almost heading into to the finish line. And so at a certain point, that becomes very popular because all of a sudden, you know, early afternoon, that starts to get to fill up that little area. And you start to see people parked along the road and stuff. Park way off the road because it's kind of dangerous. People are going by pretty fast.
It gets pretty clogged up there.
But it's a good spot because you see them. You see the racers go underneath the highway and through that road bridge there, and then off to the other side to the casino. So those are sort of
and for every one that we mentioned as a great spot, there's probably 10 more that people are yelling right now saying, no, that's it. This is even better.
Yeah,
everybody has that best.
Everyone's
spot.
Got, but those are four that occurred to me. You know, big ones that cover I think the biggest areas, and so some pros and cons, and then at the end. The finish line is at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Go to Blue Water Resort and Casino to the finish line, and there's a good spot to see the end of the race. First, you know, race leader, you want to start to see those race leaders come in. What time should people be down at the finish line?
The last 3 years that I've done this, all the number one person coming through has always happened like between the 3 and 4 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Every year.
I would say even earlier. I would think if you want to try to be there by 2:30,
okay,
you'll be safe.
That's fair enough. I usually get there around 2:15.
Right. Just to try and be safe, right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of a zoo down there, too.
And
there's a lot to see, a lot to look at. There's a guy down there that'll do the whole, you know, microphone from the stage.
He's updating on the leaders. And
yeah, right. Yeah. So that's a pretty good spot to go after a while if you get fed up with your spot out in the desert.
But again, it's time.
But again,
we're talking about time here.
That's right.
Because this is because the first person that goes up on the podium and gets interviewed by the guy with the microphone from racedesert.com doesn't mean that he's the number one finisher.
Right.
It's something to consider.
Exactly.
It makes it even more exciting because even though you've seen the first person cross the finish, you know someone could still be in their, you know, beginning their third lap and end up as the champion.
Right.
It's great. I love it. I this is one of the things I love about this race.
And finally, chapter four, things to look out for. So we just said where you should go. What should you be looking for while you're out there? I would say this. Look, you're going to see the excitement when a big name comes through, when one of the teams that everybody watches, like say your Terrible Herbst guys or your Robbie Gordons or your McCachrans, all these guys that are like the big names in the sport.
Weirich, Voss, these guys, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to see their choppers a lot of the time before you see them. In the Parker area, it tends to be the case that people know people. People know racers. And we're going to hear now from a few of the people who are racing who are locals, right? People who, teams that run here locally. They are not necessarily people, although some of them are, who spend a ton of money, like the big dogs. Some of them spend less. Actually, we do have a few in there that spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
That are locals. But they all, and you've talked to them today, right?
Yes. I was able to meet up with some of them over there at the Parker Youth Off-Road Experience. And
how was that?
It was great. Had a couple, did some raw interviews with them over there. And the information they, it's great because you see the excitement of what this means. And you also get to see, because these kids love it, right?
Yeah.
The kids love going up to a driver, and these guys become their heroes.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want to be a professional football player or a basketball player. I want to drive a truck through the desert.
I want to.
Seriously. And why wouldn't you want to, John?
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? I mean, I did it earlier, and we'll get to that later.
You did?
I did, in my Ford Focus. I tested out a portion of the course in my Ford Focus, dude.
How was that suspension?
Dude, surprisingly, well.
Mm. Well, it is a Ford after all. Let's start with Dustin Hoffman, not the actor.
Dustin Hoffman is Jeep Speed.
Dustin Hoffman of the 1731 Jeep Speed. How's it going, Dustin?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Hey, not too bad. It's a beautiful day for racing, and we're here in Parker, Arizona for the Parker 425. What do you expect to see this year?
I expect to see hot weather and a lot of dust out there. It's all the sun.
Did he say hot women?
Hot weather.
Oh.
Nice race. We start in the back of the field. All the trophy trucks take
off. If you're a spectator, there will be hot women there, too.
Yes.
In front of us in those faster cars. I expect it's going to be pretty rough out there, especially on the second lap. And we're gonna go out and run the first lap real hard and then take it easy on the second lap, I think.
Yeah, because you're as a G-Speed, you're only a two lap.
Yes, sir. We're just two laps. So, and, you know, we're not they're not built like the trophy trucks and stuff like that, you know. So we're going to run the first lap real hard and then go out and get a good finish. Just try to run that second lap nice and easy, nice, good pace, and try to get in nice and safe.
Very nice. Now, yeah, you mentioned the weather. Temperatures upper 70s, low 80s, overnights in the 50s. It's a beautiful year for racing. And even though we did have some rain over the last couple of weeks.
You know, out there on the racetrack, we like about 5 or 10 mile an hour wind to get that dust off the track so we can see in front of us. Mm-hmm.
You know? But with no wind, it's going to be like a fog bank.
It's going to be like a fog bank, and try not to hit anything and get through and have a nice, safe race.
Right, yeah, that's the important thing. Have a safe race and drive well and handle everything. Mechanically, have you made any changes to the 1731 this season?
Oh, yeah, we've Justin Brinkerhoff has worked on our shocks, and absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. We're just really fast in the rough stuff, and, you know, we've learned a little bit of stuff over the last couple of years, and we're using it, you know.
Now, you had a great showing and actually finished first this last season in the race, right?
Yeah, at the Blue Water Challenge, we got a first place. Yeah, we did. Yep.
Very nice. So congratulations on that. And that was just this last October.
Yep, in October. And we also had a second place at the Mint 400. And then we had another second place at the Henderson 250, which we only lost by about 63 seconds.
Oh, 63 seconds. Boy, 63. This interview's been longer than 63 seconds.
Right.
This is wow. So here's to finishing at least second place then.
Yep. Well, we got a fourth overall for the season in our class, because in the Jeep Speed class, we have about 20 to 25 people that actually run all the time. You know, so we do have to battle out there.
It is a battle in the Jeep Speed class. We are looking forward to that. You can see them starting about 7:15. Line up and start is this morning at the Parker Area Chamber of Commerce.
We will start about 9:15, 9:30.
9:15, 9:30 for the Jeep Speed. So if you want to see Dustin Hoffman and the others in that field of Jeep Speeds, come on down.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
So this is, he's doing really, really well. I didn't know that. So first place and then second place. Wow, this is
super
crazy.
Super nice guy. And you know what made that interview was Bruno Mars in the background.
Bruno
singing.
Mars.
Yeah, that was good. That really made the interview pop.
Steve Saliza?
Now, Steve Saliza is the crew chief for Randy Merritt. And I decided to speak with both of them because Steve knows the mechanics of that.
Who did you speak to first?
Steve.
Randy? Steve, okay. Yeah. Let's do that first then.
Hi, my name's Steve Saliza. I'm the crew chief for the Mongo Racing number 7281.
And that is being driven by Randy Merritt, correct?
That's correct.
Definitely a Parker local who has had a lot of success with the Parker 425 and other races in the series.
Yeah, we've won Parker 6 times.
Wow.
In our 20-year history, we're looking for another win. We went through the whole truck. We got a new shock sponsor, and we're tuned in, dialed in. We're ready to win.
Very good, very good. Now, and who's this new shock sponsor?
The name is ADS Shocks out of Tucson, Arizona. It stands for Arizona Desert Shocks.
Ah, very nice.
Good
now,
name.
Obviously,
yeah.
People want to know what your favorite portion of the course is, because you yourself have driven in this truck before on the course. What is your personal favorite?
I'd say my personal favorite is from Midway to Mineral Wash, because, I mean, the turns are there and you're high speed and there's those gotcha rollers and you just catch air and you see the sky and you land and you keep going.
That's a lot of fun right there. Wow. Now, as far as spectators go, in your opinion, where would be the optimal place on the course to watch the race from?
For me, I would say the Bouse area, the Bouse Y, that area right there.
There you go. Might be worthwhile.
Nice. Any reason in particular? Just the whoops and the turns and the jumps?
Yeah, there's a couple of whoops right there, and then you get into a turn, and you're straight away all the way down the Bouse Road, so I like that spot.
Now, from my understanding, they've recently reopened that Bouse Spectator area. They were able to get some K-rails up there recently, and that's reopened?
Yeah, that's reopened. All the way from there, all the way to the Bouse Y is a good area.
Very nice, very nice. Well, thank you, Steve, with the 7281. And this is a Chevy? No, this is an F-150, a Ford F-150.
Yeah, it's a Ford F-150. To be honest, it's there's nothing really stock in it. Everything's custom made. That's pretty much it.
Very nice. All righty. We do appreciate it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to turn the record. I was just saying, yeah, you know, just turn it off as soon as I say thank you, because I left that one on for like 5 more minutes, I think.
Oh.
And I was just like, sorry about calling it a Chevy. I was like, oh, I'll
take care of that in production.
But I didn't have time to do it, man. It's been a busy day.
Well, Ford. Yeah, it's funny, though, that you say it's a Ford F-150. And then you go, but actually, there's no F-150 left in it. It's,
I mean, all just... the F-150's been stripped out almost completely. Yeah, it's a beautiful truck.
Let's listen to Randy talk about it. This is his truck, right?
Yes, he is the driver.
All right. Here with Randy Merritt, truck 7281, right here before the big race. How you doing, Randy?
Pretty good. Just here for another day at the park.
Yeah, this is the Parker Youth Off-Road Experience at Paul Parvey Park, and we have some vehicles that showed up along... Oh, wait, you've done this every year, haven't you?
Every year, but one year, and my truck wasn't finished and didn't have nothing to bring, so we had to wait till the next race, and it was out of town.
There we go. Now, what are some changes that you've made to the truck? I was just talking with your crew chief there, Steve, and he says that you have a new shock sponsor. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a new shock sponsor, ADS. They're out of Tucson, and they came on board, and they've helped us quite a bit. Got the truck working a whole lot better, something we've kind of had an issue with over the years, and I think now it's going to be a whole lot faster.
A whole lot faster. I mean, you're already won, what, six times now, right?
Yeah, six times. We started our first race in 1993, and we've just been doing it ever since.
What started off as a hobby has become a career for you.
Yeah, it has to pay for itself. I could never afford a truck like this. So luckily, we have people that kind of helped us along the way, and we've grown, and they've kind of gone along with us and helped us a whole lot.
Very nice. Now, any other changes that you have going for the truck this year, this time around?
It's pretty much the same thing. We did a few changes, did a different transmission company. We went with Hughes out of Phoenix, and seems to be working pretty good. A couple little changes we've done ourselves, and so hopefully it all kind of helps out.
I mean, what strikes me, though, is that all these changes that they make, like a new transmission, I mean, it's all going to get trashed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it could, at the same time, make or break the race for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how many times have you heard of people going out early of the race because they have a transmission issue or
right.
a drive chain or, you know, anything? It's just ridiculous.
Now, when it comes to the course itself, what's your favorite portion of the course as the driver of the 7281?
The favorite part is probably leaving Midway, coming back towards Parker. It's all dirt roads. You can go real fast and try to make time right there. That's probably my favorite.
And what's a top speed that you've reached record-wise with your truck here?
We hit 121 we can get up to, but normally, you know, 80 miles an hour, kind of up the washes, things like that.
That's 120 on dirt and 80 in a wash, so that feels a lot faster than 80, doesn't it?
Nah, doesn't feel fast enough a lot of times.
True words from a true professional.
He had like hunger in his eyes enough. When he said that.
Yeah, he loves that.
He's like, it's not fast enough. All right, like, so, true words.
So that was Randy Merritt.
Yeah.
Rick Madison.
Rick Madison has a rail. Good local guy. Great local
rail. What is that?
Well, he explains it.
Here with Rick Madison of the 1104. What would you consider this? Rail buggy? What would you call it?
This is a rail. It's actually called Class 10 Light, and it runs the 1100 series number. My number is 1104.
Very nice, Rick. Now, how many years have you done this race?
Oh, I've done this race probably about 12 times now, and we've won it 3 times, and we're going to keep going.
Those are good numbers.
Not bad.
That's good. That's 25% of the time you've won.
25% of the time, and we're doing okay at this point.
I like that. If I was like that in life, man, I'd be winning. That's very nice. Now, I want to ask you what I've asked everybody else. As a driver, what is your favorite portion of the course?
My favorite portion of the course is just before the Jeep Trail, as you hit Shea Road and cross it, there's about 12 miles of up and down that runs right next to the CAP Canal. And it's just a lot of elevation change. Man, you get to fly off some really big hills at really high speeds.
What's the most exciting thing that's happened in this during a race? Not only this race in Parker, but other races. Have you ever rolled your rail before?
Actually, I have. I've rolled this car at about 90 miles an hour when a front trailing arm broke. I was leading the race, crashed it really hard, got out, had some people help me push it back over, and we went to the finish line. And got second that day.
You got second with a rollover. That is some impressive driving there.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
As far as spectator areas go, in your opinion, as a driver, where should spectators go if they want to see the most action?
The most action, especially right off the start, is go along Shea Road, right near the cattle guard. There's some really big bumps and jumps and whoops, and everybody gets airborne.
Hey.
Goes for it right there. That's a good spot to watch. That's where I would be.
And it's pretty close to town, too.
It is. It's only about 2 miles out.
Very nice. Well, good luck this Saturday, Rick. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
That's a really good little question there, and also answer, I think, because we've been trying to give people a guide, you know, where
exactly
to go. That's a good little tidbit right there from Rick Madison. Yeah. And finally, let's just talk to our own Jim Beaver, who, you know, normally comes in here, and he's busy this week, but let's hear what he had to say.
We got the number 15 truck right here, Jim Beaver. How you doing, Jim?
Doing pretty good, man. Just out here, you know, at this youth event that we like doing every year and kind of get back to the kids a couple days before the race, so it's always good.
Well, you know him and love him from the Parker Livecast, and now you're going to be able to not only hear him, of course, every Monday and throughout the week on the Down and Dirty Action Motorsports Radio Show, but you're going to see him racing this weekend in the Parker 425. What are some changes you've made to the truck? There's some obvious ones just by looking at it.
Yeah, big ones. We converted the truck to a 2015 F-150 front end, and also dropped a new livery for it, something new that we've never done before, and so pretty excited. Kind of got a fresh look. We upgraded the brake system in the off-season and some other stuff, so hoping to have some good luck. So 2015 F-150, it's the number 15, it's the year 2015, so here's hoping it's the perfect storm, right?
That's pretty good. I like that. And if you want to see that truck, you want to know what it looks like, viewfinder on Parker Live Wednesday was his truck, and you can see it.
Well, if it is about numbers, I think you've got three matching ones there with the 15, so definitely good luck to you in this race. Expecting a good turnout this year, 220-plus entries from what I understand.
Yeah, 220-plus entries. I know in Trick Truck we're pushing 50 entries. Got some heavy hitters in there. McMillan's showing up, Bryce Menzies. You know, not really missing much of anybody. Robbie Gordon always in the mix. The Wyricks, I mean, it's a stacked field. You know, anybody from Parker teetering on the idea of going out, I don't know what your problem is. Get out of the house, go out and have some fun. Get
Boom.
A nice chest, watch the race. You know, you're going to miss. You've got one of the biggest off-road races in the world in your backyard. How can you stay at home?
There's nothing to do in Parker. You know what? It's because you don't want to do anything. That's what it is. There's plenty of options here, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you, Netflix isn't as exciting as what's happening out there 2 miles out in the desert. You know, leave the Netflix. It'll be there tomorrow, and get out in the desert.
Turn the Hulu off and hop in the car and go out Shea Road and enjoy some great off-road racing. You'll see the number 15. That's with Jim Beaver, the Down and Dirty Action Motorsports Radio Show is the main sponsor on that. Of course, you can catch him online. And what's your website?
Just downanddirtyshow.com. Download our app, too.
Yes, download the app. Thank you, Jim.
That was the Parker Livecast Spectator Guide to the Parker 425. And if you're looking for relevant ways to stay in touch with them, let's say you've got a smartphone or a tablet, let's say you're going to be on your computer, can't make it, whatever it might be, and you want to be in touch with everything that's going on, and you want to see the latest results, and you want to be up on the coverage, and you want to see photos and everything, and what else is happening from around the course, because even if you're, you know, let's say you pick your spot, and it's on Shea Road, as Rick said, and it's right there, wherever you decide to go, you can't have eyes on the whole course at the same time. Or can you?
Uh-huh.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
All right, there are a few places. We're biased toward KLPZ1380.com. That's got an all-day radio broadcast. It's pretty much unparalleled in this sport. I do not know of other radio stations anywhere in the country that cover the entire off-road race on a whole day broadcast like that. But we're on from 7 a.m. on Saturday all the way through. You can get it on your smartphone. If you're around the course and you have an AM radio, most cars, vehicles do, go to 1380 AM. If you prefer the sound of a digital signal, go to klpz1380.com. And whether you're on a phone or whatever device you're on, the website is smart enough to know what device you're on and give you the feed that matters to you. And so it's klpz1380.com. For that feed, that same feed, along with some visual stuff and a list of links and some other things, go to parkerliveonline.com, of course. And so we're partial to those. But another really good place to go is Race Desert. It's race-desert-with-a-z.com, race-desert-with-a-z.com, Race Desert. Or Best in the Desert's own website is bitd.com. Yes. In addition to that, the Parker Tourism Facebook page, the Parker Live Twitter account, all those we get a bunch of tweets and things going out, and you can use the hashtag Parker425 yes. and the hashtag ParkerAZ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
for Instagram, yeah. Facebook, Twitter, use it.
For all the social media accounts. And so if you get a really good photo of, you know, a rollover, or you get a really good photo of some, you know, someone stopped on the course and that you want to know why, people want to know why. Anything that you think other people might be interested in, if you tweet those, Instagram those, Facebook those with the hashtag Parker425, hashtag ParkerAZ, we'll see it. We'll help retweet those things, yes. and all that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and get the word out and keep other people in touch. And if you want to reach us on a phone call and be part of that broadcast on Saturday, you can call our studio. The number is this, 928-669-2507. That was particularly punchy.
I hit it pretty hard.
That was good. Is your arm sore? Yeah. Is your hand sore?
I think it went through the flesh of my finger, actually. Now, something to keep in mind. If you
yes.
are amongst the unfortunate few that cannot make it to Parker, Arizona this weekend, this is why KLPZ1380.com is going to come in handy. Let's say you're in Southern California. Let's say you're somewhere in the Phoenix area. Let's say you're somewhere outside of the state of Arizona and California.
Yes.
And you want to be part of the race. You just can't make it, but you love your hometown so much you want to listen to it. KLPZ1380.com. You can listen to it from the comfy confines of your dust-free living room.
That's true, and we have lots of people who do that every year.
A lot of people do. Yeah. They can't come to the race.
Right. We hear from them every single yep. year. So be a part of that audience, whatever you're doing on Saturday, and we can't wait for the race. And happy race week, Josh.
Happy race week, John.
And we'll see you all next week on the Parker Livecast, and we'll see what we're doing next week. It might be completely different. But this week, it's all about the race, of course. Thursday, it's the Downtown Experience, which is already done, I'm sure, by the time you're listening to this. Friday, Contingency Row, and Saturday, the big race.
I will see you at the start Saturday morning. It's all about the race, no trouble.
Because it's all about the race, no trouble.
It's all about the race, no trouble.
Hot miles here.